When Sudevi and I were in, I think it was in Chaupati, we saw this nice thing. And we were thinking, oh, we have to get one. We have to try to. Then we came back and there it was with the Madungas. So is someone going to give Prabhupada's book? Prabhupada's giving the class and I'm hoping that I will be able to assist him a little bit in this regard. Hopefully I don't say anything that will interfere with the Siddhanta. Please bless me, one and all. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritcha. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Divim Sarasvatim Vyasam. Tato Jayo Mudirayet. Nasta prayeshu apadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati utamashloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. It's verse 29, right? Huh? The wrong chapter? What happened? The wrong chapter. Okay, we're a little sleepy today. Never mind, we'll just go ahead then. We'll just chant what we have here. Don't worry about it. By regular attendance and classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering service to the pure devotee, all that is in us which is within the heart is practically destroyed. And thus, loving service to the personality of Godhead who is praised with transcendental song is established as an irrevocable fact. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, let us offer obeisances unto the personality of Godhead, Lord Narayan, unto Naranarayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, and unto Srila Vyasa Dev, the author. So today we're reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 30, Text 29. I'll just read the Sanskrit.
Yeno pashantir bhutanam kshulakanam apihatam antarhitontaridaye Kasmano Veda Nashishaha.
Prabhupada has the right chapter. Okay, let's see. When the Lord, so this is, we know that the Prachetas are glorifying the Lord here. And just to set the record a little bit straight, because I've been listening to some of the previous classes online. Some say there was 10, some say there was 10,000, some say there was 1,000 Prachetas. There are only 10 Prachetas. And that's already a lot. I mean, what was her name? Pratiloma, the girl that married. That 10 husbands is a lot. I don't know how many of you have heard of this book called Jagyasena. It's an interesting perspective. It's a book written by a woman who imagined what it would be like to be Draupadi. Very, very sweet. Most of the things were quite close to our Siddhanta, that Krishna was the all-attractive, etc., etc. But it was interesting because Draupadi was thinking, I'm supposed to marry Arjuna. It wasn't the deal to marry five of these guys. I didn't want to marry five of them. I wanted to marry, you know, and how what a struggle it was for her to satisfy them all. And apparently Arjuna was always escaping because Arjuna was upset that she agreed to marry five of them. It was an interesting the struggles of a woman who has five powerful Kshatriya husbands. And the saving grace is that they were all pure devotees of Krishna. So anyway, here is the Prachetas, and they're still glorifying the Lord with beautiful prayers. And the point that's being made here now is when the Lord, out of his natural compassion, thinks of his devotee, by that process only are all desires of the neophyte devotee fulfilled. The Lord is situated in every living entity's heart, although the living entity may be very insignificant. The Lord knows everything about the living entity, including all his desires, Although we are very insignificant, why should the Lord not know our desires? So shall we please repeat? When the Lord, out of His natural compassion, thinks of His devotee, by that process only are all desires of the neophyte devotee fulfilled. The Lord is situated in every living entity's heart. Although the living entity may be very insignificant, the Lord knows everything about the living entity, including all his desires. We don't like the idea that he might know all of our desires. At least we should know that some of the desires that are not very nice, they're not really our desires. They're imposed on us. We pick them up while we're traveling in the material world, and even though we don't want them anymore, they're still haunting us. So anyway, we pray that Krishna only fulfills our desires that will bring us closer to him. Although we are very insignificant, why should the Lord not know our desires? Actually, in one purport, Prabhupada says, the Lord knows our desires even before we know them. Just like if there's a flower over there somewhere, and it's like maybe behind the curtain, but a person smells the flower, and he knows what flower it is, even before he sees it. So that was the analogy that was given. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. A very advanced devotee does not think himself advanced. So in this prayer, the potato was saying, they're thinking of themselves as neophytes. Now, they've only been meditating underwater for 10,000 years. But you can see the more spiritually advanced you become, the more you realize how insignificant you are. He is always very humble. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, in His plenary expansion as the Paramatma, or Supersoul, sits in everyone's heart and can understand the attitudes and desires of His devotees. The Lord also gives opportunity to the non-devotees to fulfill their desires, as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, Matak Smritir Gyanam Apohanam Cha. Whatever a living entity desires, however insignificant he may be, is noted by the Lord, who gives him a chance to fulfill his desires. If the desires of the non-devotees are fulfilled, why not those of the devotee? A pure devotee simply wants to engage in the service of the Lord without material desire, and if he wants this within the core of his heart, where the Lord is situated, and if he is without ulterior motive, why should the Lord not understand? If a sincere devotee renders service to the Lord or to the Archavigraha, the form of the Lord, all his activities prove successful because the Lord is present within his heart and understands his sincerity. Thus, if a devotee with all confidence goes on discharging the prescribed duties of devotional service, he will ultimately attain success. Om Gyana Timivandasya Ginanjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Manchakalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Pyevacha Patitanan Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivashadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Everybody. Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Thank you. I try to extract some essential points that I could like to try to share whatever realization or aspirations I have from this purport. So one is that the humility of a devotee and the supersoul, and who is the source of the supersoul. The Lord is the fulfiller of everyone's desire, especially the devotees. And also, in conclusion, the positive nature of devotional service and the simplicity of devotional service. These are the main points I'd like to focus on today. So Prabhupada makes the point that a devotee is very advanced, and he doesn't think of him, but a devotee who is very advanced doesn't think that, oh, I'm advanced. When I was reading this prayer that he was saying that the Lord fulfills the desires of all the neophyte devotee, I was thinking, it sounds very humble. And then I was happy to find that Prabhupada, he confirmed that in the purport. It's amazing that even though they performed so much austerity for so many thousands of years, they think of themselves as neophytes. So this is an example. The less advanced we are, the more covered over we are by the modes of nature, the more important we tend to think of ourselves, more either negatively or positively. If we're in the mode of passion, we think ourselves very important. I'm good, I'm great. And if we're in the mode of ignorance, then we think, oh, I'm this, I'm bad, I'm this and that. But these are all influences of the modes of material nature that make us think about ourselves rather than thinking of the bigger things in life, like the Lord and devotional service and service to the Vaishnavas. So we just think of ourselves as a humble neophyte devotee trying to somehow make advancement in spiritual life. That's the safest position. And Prabhupada speaks about how the Lord is situated at the plenary expansion of the Lord, that's the super soul, is situated in the heart of every living entity, and he understands the desires and attitude of the devotee. And he mentioned this verse. Anasuyaji spoke about this in her class the other day. This Sarvasya Chaham Vidisani Vishto Matak Smritir Jnanam Aponam Cha Vidaishta Sarvar Aham Eva Vedya Vedantakrit Vedavit Eva Chaham. Who knows this verse? Okay, want to say, Prabhuji? And in English? This is the person in our heart. He's there. And he's an expansion of Krishna, and he's extremely powerful and very merciful. But of course, Jiva Goswami tells us that this is something that we can meditate on a little bit, that this is not the final, it's a very exalted feature of the Absolute Truth, but this is not the final feature of the Absolute Truth. Because if the Super Soul were the final feature of the Absolute Truth, that would make him our servant, our order supplier, because he's so kindly sitting there doing whatever he can to fulfill our desires. But actually his main goal in following us in this material world and going along with the whole saga of our material sojourn is that he's waiting for us to turn our face back to him and to help us help us return to him. So the super soul, the expansion of the Lord, is so exalted. So just imagine we can contemplate and consider and cultivate our attraction for the Lord. As we were in our Bhakti Vaibhava class yesterday, we came up on this statement that the primary form of the Lord is Shyamasundara, with two hands playing on his eternal flute. So the Lord, as Shyamasundara, has expanded as the Super Soul into our heart. And so kind, just letting us live out our desires and doing whatever he can. Of course, it's one time Prabhupada was saying, it's not an easy job that Krishna has as the Super Soul, because, for instance, he gives the example that one rich man is praying, oh, don't let anybody rob my house. And then, and the thief is saying, oh, please let me rob this house. And then Prabhupada goes, what poor Krishna can do? But he does it. He manages to fulfill everyone's desires, maybe not exactly the way that we would like, because it's too many desires, but at the same time, everything is arranged in a perfect way so that gradually we can start to consider what real happiness is and what the real goal of life is. And if we always consider that the super soul is an expansion of the Lord, then our appreciation for the Lord increases. Just like in the Bhagavad Gita, it says, Krishna says himself, if we know about all his glories and power, then if we become convinced of this, like Prabhupada was saying in this purport, we become very confident, then we can surrender. But we have to cultivate this awareness. We have to contemplate, and it's not. We may understand it theoretically, and even that theoretical knowledge was enough to make us, to influence us to take to the Krishna consciousness movement. But to solidify that in our heart, that is something that we have to really cultivate, and hear from the acharyas and try to understand and apply their teachings. Yes, Prabhupada says that whatever living entity desires, however insignificant he may be, is noted by the Lord, who gives him a chance to fulfill his desires. So this is the Lord's kindness. I remember when I was with my friend Bhakti Rupa at the end when she was leaving her body, but she was very concerned about her mother, and her mother had so many desires, and she was saying, is it okay to wish that my mother's desires can be fulfilled? Because she was just so kind. So I said, and you don't have to worry about that. Krishna will take care of your mother. Right now, all you have to worry about is fixing your mind on Krishna. But I noted that that's a natural tendency of a very soft-hearted person. Even if they know that whatever a person desires is not going to make them eternally happy, they just want to pacify them somehow or other, because that's the nature. And the Lord is like that. He wants us to satisfy our desires, even though he's not trying to control us and say, no, this is how you're going to be happy. He's giving us enough freedom to exercise our minute independence. Who could be a better friend than that? Not only is he allowing our desires, but he's facilitating them. So if we consider this, that simply out of his natural love for us as his parts and parcels, he just wants us to have our desires fulfilled. And Prabhupada makes a point, and even the non-devotees' desires are fulfilled. So what to speak about the devotees? Even those who are not even willing to acknowledge that he exists, they're not even willing to think that they have any relationship with him. The Lord is trying to facilitate their desires. And what to speak about the devotees who our desire is to become purified to the point where our existence is meant only to please the Lord. It's a very simple thing. Krishna wants to enjoy, and the devotees want the Lord to enjoy. So when we come to that natural purity of heart, when we want to exist, we cherish this desire in our heart that my existence will come to the point where I only exist to give Krishna pleasure. It sounds very simple, but it's the most exalted consciousness, and it's the consciousness that will give us the most happiness. How much happiness can we experience as tiny, insignificant souls? But if we link our happiness with Krishna's happiness, and Krishna's happiness is like an ever-increasing ocean, full of all varieties of all kinds of loving relationships that are so blissful and so exciting. So it's not a small thing, although it's a very simple concept. It's a great gift, a great desire to cherish that we can come to that platform. The Prabhupada makes that point that, yes, if the devotee cherishes this desire within the core of his heart, where the Lord is situated, and if he has no ulterior motive, then why wouldn't the Lord understand? So that's maybe a bit of a problem for us. Maybe we still have some ulterior motives. I mean, we're suffering so much in this material world. We want to be freed from that suffering. And that's a strong desire for us. The desire for liberation is quite intense. It is a motivating factor for us. Because Prabhupada said, unless we understand that this world is a place of suffering, unless we understand this clearly, we won't have any motivation for starting out on the spiritual path. So these ulterior motives are still there, but we cultivate our awareness and our realization and our knowledge that these motivations have to be purified, and we cherish this idea of just this pure loving relationship with Krishna. All of us are exposed to this concept of this pure mood of being 100% surrendered to the Lord. And that seed of pure devotion is planted in the very beginning. And the main thing is that it has to be properly developed, has to be properly cultivated under the guidance of pure devotees in our line of disciplic succession. We need to become captivated by hearing about the beauty and sweetness of the Lord and discuss among ourselves the process and the glorious nature of pure devotional service to the Lord. Another verse, I'm see if anybody knows it. Satatam kirtayantamam. Who knows this verse? Go ahead. Yatantascha dridharataha. Remember that there's two verses. They get a little bit merged to this. Namashantas chamam bhakcha nitya yukta upashate. I think the other one is they always merge in my mind a little bit too. But this verse says, always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before me, these great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. So this is the activities of the devotees. And they can do like this because they've awakened a very special taste within their hearts by the proper application of their faculties to devotional service. The example is given. They come to the point, Prabhupada says, that just as a young boy awakens his natural attraction for a young girl in her association, similarly, if one hears about Krishna in the association of devotees, he awakens his dormant Krishna consciousness. Now, it's not an artificial imposition on the soul. What is that verse again? Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadukabunoi Shudachiti Shravanadi Shudachiti Koriye Udoi. That Krishna consciousness or love for Krishna is situated in the heart of every living being. It's not something that's to be artificially imposed upon the soul, but it's naturally awakened by the appropriate process of hearing and chanting. And Prabhupada says this, that if a sincere devotee render service to the Lord or to the Archivigraha, to the deity, the form of the Lord, all his activities prove successful because the Lord is present within his heart and understands his sincerity. Thus, if a devotee with all confidence goes on discharging the prescribed duties of devotional service, he will ultimately attain success. So it's very important that we understand what it means. What is the process of devotional service? Because we're suffering in this material world, sometimes we develop some very intense desires or conceptions of how to make advancement in spiritual life. They become very deeply rooted in our heart. And we think that I have to become very advanced very quickly. I have to become very austere. But Prabhupada says we have to be confident that our progress will go naturally if we simply are willing to follow the process. And if we can just capture this simple formula and in a humble manner try to steadily perform our devotional service, we'll make progress. We can't expect, for instance, if you're learning how to play a musical instrument, it takes time. You have to practice very carefully the chords. Sometimes you've heard devotees either practicing on a harmonium or with mridanga, they just do the same thing over and over again. Sometimes it drives you a little crazy if it's right next to your room. But that's necessary. You have to be willing to perform that austerity if you want to become a very good harmonium player or a very good mridanga player. You can't expect to do that overnight. There's some austerity involved. Maybe a certain element what might appear to be like drudgery at times. But that's part of our simplicity and our confidence that even if I am very fallen and my hopes for advancement we sometimes even feel hopeless and then we try to be extreme. But if we're willing to just follow the simple process and gradually make progress, we're assured of success. Another very beautiful verse. Tate nukampam sushumikshamano punjana evatmakritam vipakam vidvagvapurbir viradan namaste jivete yomukti pade sadaya bhak Who knows this verse? The essence of the verse? Very beautiful verse. Govindacharya, you know? Yes. Yes. Because it's become his rightful claim. My dear Lord, this is Lord Brahma who is praying to Krishna, I think when he saw Krishna as the cowherd, after he had this, where he become bewildered by the Lord manifesting so many unlimited forms. He said, "My dear Lord, one who earnestly waits for you to bestow your causeless mercy upon him, all the while patiently suffering the reactions of his past misdeeds and offering you respectful obeisances with his heart, words, and body, is surely eligible for liberation, for it has become his rightful claim." So here the emphasis is on the mood of simplicity, steadiness, humility, and the practice of bhakti. We have to sincerely endeavor, but we also need to be confident that the Lord's, by the Lord's mercy, we will be able to attain the perfection of devotional service, and that it's Him. He's the one who will lift us beyond all our material conditioning. Because if we practice devotional service in a simple, humble way, Shishwara Gopinath Ki Jai, according to the directions of the Acharyas, and we should understand these. We should study the scripture, and we should hear from each other and try to understand how to apply these instructions. Then by the Lord's mercy, we'll become purified by the practice of bhakti under proper guidance. A very beautiful purport to this verse, Premanjana Charita Bhakti Vilochanena. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati says that when Krishna manifested himself in Braj, both the devotees and the non-devotees saw him with this very eye. But only the devotees cherished him eternally present in Vraj as the priceless jewel of their heart. Nowadays also the devotees see him in Vraj, in their hearts, saturated with devotion, although they do not see him with their eyes. The eye of devotion is nothing but the eye of the pure, unalloyed spiritual self of the jiva. The form of Krishna is visible to that eye in proportion to its purification by the practice of devotion. This is very encouraging if we're willing to practice positive devotional activities. We can see the Lord eventually, gradually, more and more. When the devotion of the neophyte reaches the stage of bhava bhakti, the pure eye of that devotee is tinged with the salve of love by the grace of Krishna, which enables him to see Krishna face to face. The phrase "in their hearts" means Krishna is visible in proportion as their hearts are purified by the practice of devotion. So even though it's such an exalted goal, we're being assured that by practice, by sincere practice under proper guidance, with a correct understanding of what it means to serve Krishna. It's not easy to understand this in our conditioned state. We have so many ideas in our mind. But if we're willing to try to be simple and accept the teachings with an open heart, and be willing to have our misconceptions not dominate our understanding of devotional service, but rather that what the acharyas teach us, then we can make advancement by the mercy of the Lord. I try to concentrate on how a devotee, an advanced devotee, is very humble, and I wanted to emphasize that although the super soul is such an exalted feature of the Lord, he's a manifestation of Krishna, very Krishna, just like the Archivikraha is a manifestation of that very Lord that we're all hoping and praying and dreaming that someday we can associate with and serve with a pure heart. Also that the Lord is the fulfiller of everyone's desire, and especially the devotees, and that devotional service is very positive and simple and full of, Prabhupada said, gives us great hope. Great hope for going back home, back to Godhead. So if anybody would like to make any comments or corrections, I have a few minutes. Yes, Babuji.
Yeah, I'm
I'm not exactly sure what shape our remembrance will be as far in our next life if we don't go back to Godhead. But of course, Arjuna asked a similar question. What happens to such a soul who he gives himself to devotional service, but he falls short? Does he fail both materially and spiritually? And Krishna says no. Krishna says that the endeavor for transcendental advancement is never lost, and that such a person, he rises quickly above the regulated or the rituals of the scriptures, and he's given full opportunity to advance. So perhaps that's what we see in our movement. Sometimes we see devotees who come to the movement and they manifest very quickly so many symptoms of spiritual advancement. So they may not exactly remember the details as they remember them from the previous life, but they pick them up very quickly and they realize them very quickly. So in that sense, that may be a way of remembrance. Very simple thing. When I was young, I heard about Yogi Bear. I like the word yogi, but I was very disappointed that it was just some stupid bear. You know, I was very attracted to the idea of yogi. So obviously some idea of yoga and yogi had been part of me from a previous life. So, I remember there was this cartoon where Mickey Mouse, I never really liked cartoons, but all the family was watching them, so he was up in a tree and he was eating many, many apples. And then, you know, the cartoon, so he got very sick, and so he started to kind of slowly drift down from the tree to the ground. And I go, what happened to him? What happened to him? And my brothers said, he lost his soul. And to me, when he said that he lost his soul, I was horrified. I didn't even know what a soul was. But there was something in me that knew that the soul is something that you don't want to lose. So these concepts are there in the mind of someone who has practiced spiritual life, but for them to be brought to full awareness, then that's again where we need, again, the association of advanced devotees. Does that make a little sense? It's just some little insight or realization I have from my own meager advancement that I made in spiritual life from previous endeavors. So it remains with you, the attraction, the concept, and then you meet a pure devotee like Srila Prabhupada, and the whole thing just... but still I'm struggling so much. So, but then, you know, we know a very advanced devotees in our movement. I think Prabhupada said about Bhakti Churuswami that if he fell down from Krishna consciousness, he would fall down to the mode of goodness. Obviously a very advanced soul. And we know of many devotees in our movement who they're just being driven by an intense desire to serve Krishna. Of course, the material world is a dangerous place, so even if we come back and we have accumulated some advancement, Kali Yuga is such a terrible time. We also know very, very fixed up devotees who had such great struggles, but still somehow or other they carry on in their spiritual life, because this desire of the soul is the real desire of the soul, the desire to rise above the material energy, to have a relationship with the Lord. So that's something that we have, Prabhupada said again and again, human life is meant for this, to cultivate this awareness. And if we have a little bit of it from a previous life, we should try to really capitalize on that in this lifetime. But it has to be done under guidance, and that's something that's very important to remember, that we always need guidance at every step in our spiritual life. So we have to seek out that guidance in the Shastra, in the society of devotees, with the deities. And remember that My ability to assimilate transcendental knowledge depends very much on the blessings of elevated souls who are already very established in their spiritual realization. Does that help a little bit? Nice question, thank you. How is our remembrance of the Lord manifested in the next life? Any other points you'd like to ask, Prabhuji? Example. Okay. Just speak a little loud so everybody can hear you. Mm. Yeah, so this is a samskara. This is, we're very, very fortunate. Pardon me? Yes. The feeling, you know what you said. So he remembered it even before he read it in the Bhagavatam for the first time. Okay. Right. Okay, got it. And so it became like impression in his mind and in his heart. Well, this point was made by Pranava Prabhu the other day about the importance that Shastra plays in our devotional service, because he said in many places, especially in Bengal, they don't even like to look at a scripture because they think it's, you know, devotional services of the heart. But this sound is an eternal sound vibration. So if that can become a part of our consciousness, that can be impressed into our heart, then this eternal sound being combined with eternal soul, it's a great, great benediction for us. It can pull us through many, many difficult situations, like you said, like Gajendra. Thank you, that's a very good example. Yes, Vinod. Can you say a little louder, dear? Oh. Yeah, I just take a couple of minutes to say it. Well, I have to be honest with you. For me, going to India has always been a challenge, because for me, you know, there's so much noise and chaos and people and not always very clean. And I always find it over, because I mean, my subtle body's already, and so when I get around a lot of energy that's like that, and I start feeling very scattered. But this time I had some extended association with Srimati. Who knows Srimati? Who's heard of Srimati? Yeah, anybody who knows her knows that she's glorious. She's one of these people that obviously was very developed from her previous life. And when she met a devotee, she was already very advanced in her practice of spiritual principles. She said she was doing nirjal fasting on four days a month, because she already knew about this principle of Ekadasi. So she said she was doing nirjal fasting on the full moon, on the dark moon, and on the two Ekadasis. And she was telling me this 15, 16 years ago. She said now she was in Maya, she only does it on Ekadasi. Anyway, in her association, I got to hear a lot about Krishna consciousness and the practice of Krishna consciousness. It gave me some renewed clarity and vision. And I by that association, I could begin to appreciate the beauty of Vrindavan and the beauty of the people of Vrindavan. It wasn't just a big mass of sound and vision that was just invading me anymore. I could get a little essential view of their natural appreciation and devotion for Radha and Krishna. And all they just seem to be going about their ordinary activities every day like everybody else. But the word Radha is never far from their tongue. And if we acknowledge this and respect them, then Krishna reveals a little bit more of what it means to be naturally attracted to Krishna. Because to be naturally attracted to Krishna in this material world is something very, very extraordinary. Krishna says that himself in the Bhagavad Gita, right? Out of many thousands of men, one may endeavor for perfection. And for those who have achieved perfection, hardly one knows me in truth. So these are, this is a whole town of people who are just, they know Krishna, who he is, and that he's the ultimate reality, and they have a very intimate connection with him. Of course, Prabhupada said we have to interact with him very carefully, not to make offense, not to be confused, not to become bewildered. But that's why it's very important for us to carefully understand Krishna consciousness as it's being given to us. This is the principle that she was helping me to get more focused. That this form, this form of Krishna, we accept it as the ultimate form, but we want to fix that understanding and make progress in that understanding and under proper guidance. And in her association, something came very alive for me, and I'm determined to go back. That's what happened. I actually developed an attraction, especially for Vrindavan. I want to go back, and of course I want to get the association of devotees. Like, I was so sorry that I missed the retreat. She went to the retreat with Satchinanda Maharaj. She had all kinds of realizations. That was very nice. And so I feel a new, like a renewal of hope and attraction and direction in my practice of Krishna consciousness, and also a new attraction for the holy places in India. I'm not so overwhelmed anymore by all the noise and dirt and sounds and views, and that's basically what happened to me there. No big spectacular thing on the external level, but in my heart I find it very important. Yes, Prabhuji? That they're too busy, you said? Yeah. That's a very good point that you're making. It's not so easy to approach them directly. So it's encouraged that we become acquainted with the prayers and chant the prayers in the disciplic succession. And then by the mercy of the great souls in the disciplic succession, at a certain we pray to them. And then at a certain point, we can chant their prayer, the prayers of the great souls that they offer to Krishna and Radharani. And then after taking that process very seriously of approaching them through the acharyas, then we can also formulate some of our own prayers to them. But we have to be willing to go through the proper disciplic succession, because it's by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, by the mercy of our spiritual master, by the mercy of the great acharyas in disciplic succession, that we can even conceive of them. Otherwise, what would we know about Radha and Krishna? How would we understand their absolute position and that they're the supreme goal of life? So then, if we honor that on a regular basis, then our approach to them is secure. Spiritual master, his spiritual master, this, you know, and this, that's why we have this whole Mangalacharana before we actually can. So this is encouraged, that we approach to this, that there's a line of great spiritual masters that we've been given by Prabhupada's mercy. Prabhupada came and Prabhupada awakened something in our heart, but he doesn't want us to only glorify him. He's actually the culmination of the desires of this, of the disciplic succession, because he brought their teachings, which they wrote, you know, thousands and hundreds of years ago. The Goswamis wrote these teachings, and these teachings were so important. And Prabhupada has managed to convey these intact to us. So that's why Prabhupada is so glorious. And Prabhupada has encouraged us to go through him, Bhaktisiddhanta, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Gorkhasrodas, all these prayers are there. He gave us all these prayers in the Mangalacharana to glorify. So if we can if we can approach in that way, it seems a little drawn out, right? But the prayers are very simple. It doesn't take that long. And by chanting them in a mood of surrender and devotion, we will please the acharyas. And then they will empower us to be able to have feelings and attraction, substantial, that's solid. May not be really big, but it's a solid foundation for our devotion for the divine couple. Or then there's Goni Thai, and like this. It's very rich, as Pranababu was saying. Our tradition is extremely rich, and of course it's so rich that sometimes it's hard for us to digest it. It's like it's too much. It's so overwhelming, but it is also simple if we are willing to just try to humbly follow the directions and, like you say, humbly pray in an organized way. Is that all right? Thank you. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaura Bhaktivinoda ki jai.